Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. London, the Telegraph, has very good information. The Ministry of Defense is very well informed. Ben Wallace, the Minister of Defense, is connecting all the time to Kyiv. And so what we have here from one side of the story is what Ukraine is telling the UK and what the UK is telling us. We have a headline. Russia war latest. Ukrainian forces advance in Zaporizhia. That's the oblast, not the city. Watch. Russian shows off captured Western tanks as trophies. Monday evening news briefing. The stealth strategy giving Ukraine the edge in counteroffensive. Also, Russian train carrying fuel to frontline blown up. Also, this headline, which is discordant but relevant. Nuclear weapons stockpile rises as world enters dangerous phase. I welcome Mary Kissel. She is the executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary, the Ministry of Defense is not charged with state activity. It is very clearly to maintain the armed services of the United Kingdom and, in this instance, to supply what the Prime Minister and the Cabinet have decided are major weapon systems flowing to Kyiv. The information that comes to us is being given to the British public. The New York Times and the Washington Post do what they can to give it to the American public. However, Mary, what's missing are the diplomats. I understand Justin Trudeau was in Kyiv in these last days during the offensive. I do not believe an American official of that rank, prime minister or cabinet, has been to Kyiv for several days. What I'm waiting for is an address from the White House or the State Department as to what the war plan is. What is the mission? When will we say accomplished? Mary, is that needed? Do the diplomats want to engage the American people now? Are they being held back? What is your measure?
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. Well, the nation's chief diplomat is, of course, the President of the United States that sets the nation's course when it comes to foreign policy. The National Security Advisor gathers and convenes the various agencies to enact the president's policy, and the Secretary of State flies around the world getting our allies in line and telling our enemies what will happen if they don't do what we want them to do in the interest of our national security. Here, the president has been largely absent. He has not used his bully pulpit to explain to the American people the stakes in Ukraine and why it behooves us not only to pay attention to the first war on continental Europe's soil since World War II, but why it is that this is not simply a Russia-Ukraine conflict, that it is, in effect, a proxy conflict between a tighter alliance between Russia, China, Iran, and other nations versus the free world. And that's very important because if the president doesn't use his bully pulpit effectively, he will lose public support in our American democracy. As far as the National Security Council goes, Jake Sullivan seems to be far more focused on the China threat than he does on the Ukraine war, despite the fact that Ukraine has not won and our stated goals of helping Kyiv have not been met. And when it comes to the Secretary of State, he seems to be outranked in a way by CIA Director Bill Burns, who is seeing higher ranked people around the world than the Secretary of State is, which is disturbing on a number of levels. But Blinken, too, seems more preoccupied with meeting his Chinese counterparts and appeasing them in order to get those meetings rather than focusing on the war in Kyiv. So you see the impact of the absence of presidential direction and how that trickles down to the rest of our diplomatic principles. They don't have a focused mission because the president has not said clearly, this is why Ukraine must win. This is what we're going to do to get them to win. This is the timeline in which it needs to happen. We just simply haven't had that direction from the White House.
Our conversations over many months are clear that the U.S. and NATO must win this contest by aiding Kyiv to expel the Russian invader. I do not know if that message is coming through these days from the leadership in Washington.
The message has been tempered, right, John? Because, yes, you're right. They've said we want to aid Ukraine in ejecting Russian forces from its territory, but which territories? And do we want Putin to lose just as we want Ukraine to win? It's all being done in a very softly fashion, as if we continue to be worried that, you know, Putin will somehow be provoked if we provide certain weapon systems or if we use certain words. I'm not sure that the import of this conflict has really sunk in Washington. If Russia and its friends in Beijing and Tehran win this war, whatever winning means, it could mean, you know, simply leveling large swaths of Ukraine and, you know, driving over the country and taking Ukrainian kids back to Russia. That if they gain that kind of diplomatic momentum, that's going to attract other nations that sit in the middle to lean toward their side. I mean, look at what's happening this week in Riyadh. You've got a China-Arab summit happening, almost 3,500 attendees, $10 billion in deals between China and the Mideast. You know, imagine how that might change and accelerate if you see an ascendant Russia, China, Iran triumvirate. It's really not a pleasant prospect for Washington or the free nations of Europe. It should concern us all. And I understand that the China threat is incredibly significant, very severe, something we must focus on. We worked a lot about to raise the alarm in the Trump administration, and I think we did so successfully. But we can't be a one-trick pony. And Russia has made very clear that it is willing to sacrifice its people, and they've got a lot of people, and it's willing to use their armaments, and they're producing more of them, and they're flying drones, and they're getting better at warfare. They're going to throw everything they can at this conflict, and we need to be prepared to do the same. We don't know what the outcome will be. There are many variables here. There are divisions in the Russian military leadership. That's all true, but we can't act on a hope. We have to drive the outcome that we want, and that's the kind of direction that you need from the White House.
It is summertime, 2023. I read this paragraph in the Telegraph from the Ministry of Defense. Kyiv has claimed to have retaken four villages from Russian forces in the last week in the Donetsk region of Ukraine, as their long-anticipated offensive began, with Ukrainian forces reportedly favoring night attacks where their superior Western equipment gives them the edge. All positive except this, Mary. At this pace, this war will move easily into the fall and then the winter, and the second year of European Union not having adequate energy resources, unless we don't know, because Russia will not be available. In other words, the pace here is not to give us a victory or a defeat by Christmas, and we'll be into the campaign season. We need clarity. How long is this going to carry on? Years?
Well, I'd commend the work of the Institute for the Study of War to all of your listeners, and with the caveat that I'm a supporter of ISW, they're very sober about how war works, whereas our policymakers and our media commentators are not. They seem to be conditioned by video games and the instant gratification culture of the last decade. That's not how war works. The counteroffensive in our press corps has been portrayed as something, you know, that's a neat little campaign that can be executed in a matter of weeks. No, that's not how it works. The Ukrainians are probing for weaknesses in the Russian defenses. As you said, John, they're doing it at times of day in which they feel they have an advantage. They have to figure out how to marshal all of the instruments of war from the tools that they have in the air, on the ground, the logistics of supplying their troops, the intelligence that they're gathering, many, many factors in order to push forward. It's not as easy as, you know, a video game. It's incredibly complicated, and they're doing it with equipment that they're cobbling together from various sources. It's not like they're the United States, where they've, you know, spent decades developing interoperable systems. They're taking whatever they can get and trying to make it work. It's quite remarkable that the gains that they've had so far, given that situation that they've been in, very admirable, which makes me think that if the NATO countries and the United States and others are pulled together in a far more, shall we say, pointed way by the United States, that Kyiv really could make the advances that it needs. Most notably, what they need, for instance, is superiority in the air, which they don't have, which they've been asking for airplanes now for more than a year. We still haven't given it to them. So that tells me that we're not focused on helping them really win this war and win it quickly. We're more focused on giving them just enough to let them keep fighting, which is not a strategy at all. It's simply a stall tactic, and it's a tactic that will cost many, many innocent lives for no reason at all. And I think that's disgraceful.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. There's a new report about COVID-19. It's challenging. When we come back, I'm John Biden.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.